Good morning. How are y'all doing? Whoa, it's a little hot. Can you turn down just a smidge? Is God good?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Unequivocally. Dear Heavenly Father, don't let anything come out of my mouth that's not from you. Let everything that's said today be a blessing to everyone here, to lift them up, to embolden them, to make them draw closer to you, and to bring them joy, peace, and comfort. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, God is awesome. I'm going to start this by saying Jesus is Lord. So That's where everything that we live begins. Jesus is our Lord. There was a fellow that said one time, he goes, well, Jesus is my Savior, but I don't know if I'm ready for Him to be my Lord. But that's hard. You're making it hard on yourself. When you don't make Jesus Lord, you're choosing the hard route. So relinquish your power and let Him be Lord. You stop being Lord. Okay. Need these guys now. All right. Does that make me look smarter?
Yeah.
In my life, I find myself so laser focused on what is in front of me, I don't always put the entire picture together. It's funny. The older you get, the more you start to put little things together. Like as a child, you learn this. And then as you get older, you learn, well, why that happens. But just in life, I've got so much stuff going on. I can't always see everything that God has. I mean, I will never see everything that God has going on, but I can't see what God has going on, and I don't put it together, and I just plod forward. So I come in an argument without a solid background of the subject. There's a saying that you should stand on the shoulders of other men. The problem with this is you have no idea where they came up with the idea that you are so vehemently championing. Here's an example. I don't trust doctors. This idea came from my father. I stood on his shoulders and said, I don't trust doctors. Well, I have no idea why my dad doesn't trust doctors, so instead of going off half-cocked, I need to decide for myself why I don't trust doctors. So I don't distrust all doctors, so I guess I have to decide where this conclusion comes from that I don't trust doctors. My conclusion came after many years of discovery. I think I can safely say doctors as a whole are driven by a desire to help people. So since I believe this, then I should trust them, but I don't. To determine how I came to this conclusion, you have to go back in history. I won't go all the way back because it gets a little dark. We'll go back to, we'll say simply, just plain greed. And that's not the doctors that I'm talking about, the greed. There are families who have invested in pharmaceutical drugs and in vaccines. I promise this all has something to do with God. And they have made fortunes selling their wares. These families then became benefactors of colleges and universities, and the colleges and universities then felt beholden to the benefactors and teach the product instead of the science. Men and women attend these paragons of education, but unbeknownst to them, they don't learn the science of the body, but the method in which to enrich the benefactors by selling their products. Therefore, my conclusion is not that I don't trust doctors because they're not trustworthy, but because they have been secretly deceived by their education. And I just recently came to that conclusion. Because I was like, how could all doctors be bad? That is not possible. And then I thought, if they're all taught by the same people, then that's how you could deceive everybody. So that's why today I'm going to talk about you have to go back to the beginning. If you don't go back to the beginning, you can be deceived because you're just going on other people's experience, other people's knowledge, and you can't know the truth. So that's a pretty broad statement. I know many doctors whose eyes have been opened and they think for themselves. it would be hard not to trust your education. It's true. I mean, when you're taught something, you just believe it. Ah, that's greater men than me told me this, so it's got to be true. But the truth is, we must question man, because every man is a liar and only God is true. My wife didn't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. On a side note, as a personal service announcement, MDs, for some reason, are much more preferred than DOs. And I tried to figure that out because I talked to a fellow who's a DO who I trust. And I said, what's the difference between an MD and a DO? And he said, well, we take all the same classes, except for DOs take about another 600 hours in studying the body and how to help it without doing drugs. I said, oh, interesting. I don't know if that's why MDs seem to be preferred over DOs, but I like the idea that DOs want to help the body without drugs. I think that's a great, nothing to do with today's sermon, but just interesting tidbit of knowledge. I'll bring up two things to make my point, and then I'll come back to how this relates to God. Number one, in our most current plandemic, I said that correctly, we just went through, there was an inexpensive, effective drug that would have taken care of the virus, and those who had an agenda touted it as unsafe and ineffective. But these people were experts, and most people do not question them. We are taught to see men and women of supposed great wisdom as telling us the truth. In actuality, many of them are deceivers. Their ambition outweighs their implied obligation to uphold the truth and virtue. Outcome is more important than truth. As common folk, we are told we cannot know the truth because we have not gone to a big school and spent many years to become intelligent. I learned in elementary school that science is observable. I find in life, scientific truth is often obvious if you just take the time to look. I know that when I eat fast food, within a short amount of time, my body becomes sluggish, my mind becomes foggy. If I eat processed sugar, my joints ache. This is science. I mean, this is easy to figure out. In my childhood education, I was taught that the earth goes in weather cycles. And my life experiences sees this and tests this to determine that if it's true or false, I find it to be true. Scientists say that we have global warming and the ice caps are melting. Then it says it's getting cold and we're going to have a mini ice age. And when that doesn't pan out, they say, well, we just have climate change. It all boils down to outcome-driven science, man wanting to be God and to do away with the need of God and the hate of God. And therefore, they hate God and therefore they need a certain outcome to disprove him. As a believer, when you speak for God, you speak with authority. I find that we do that a lot. We say, I think, or I believe, and that's not strong enough. You say, I know, or God says. And then there's no ambiguity. You can't say, well, you might be right, and I might be right. I believe this. You go, no, I know. So if you know, then you're right, and they're wrong, and they can't argue with you. They just stop. So I got into a heated discussion with somebody the other day on our beloved social media platforms. And I ended the conversation with, because we were talking about evolution, and I ended the conversation with, you can believe that you came from a monkey, but I know for a fact that I am made in the image of God. And all of a sudden, the person just went silent. I mean, you can't argue with that, because I didn't believe it. I said, I know I am made in the image of God. So monkey away. So the truth is, God created this earth, and he designed it to last until he comes back. So that comes to my mind every time they bring up this garbage about, oh, we're destroying the earth and everything. It's like, you don't think God knew that we were going to do awful things to the earth, and he, you know, created a way to overcome that? I mean, it was like you remember the huge oil spill where the government said you have to drill way far off off the shore, and then there was a huge storm and it broke the pipe and there was oil everywhere, and they're like, oh, this is terrible, what are we going to do? And then the biology in the ocean said, hey, this is great, let's eat all this oil, and it was gone. And it was like man had to do nothing. God already knows what we're going to do. So nothing man can do will ever bring the earth to an uninhabitable state. We need to bring everything back to God, to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good. I see these people, like Hollywood stars, giving themselves awards
or modern artists complimenting other modern artists and acting like we, the normal folk, can't see the genius behind their painting my two-year-old could have painted, or scientists pretending to come up with something no one else has ever discovered. Man feels the need to be great. Mankind wants to be God. They want to be immortal. It's interesting, all the technology nowadays is to get us to live longer, to live forever. You know, they're wanting to figure out how to implant your memories into an artificial intelligence so that you can live forever. You guys know that's happening right now? It's crazy. Why does man want to live forever? That's ridiculous. I'm going to tell you why. They want to be immortal, which, if you think about it, is a desire that's built into us because God made us to live forever. But Adam and Eve sinned and death entered the world. We will one day be immortal, but not on this earth and not in this body. Here's my second example. I don't know if I had a first one, I think, but this is my second one. There's a fellow who is rather worldly, but he is always seeking the truth. And I love it when I see people who you see live a totally debauched, licentious life, and all of a sudden one day they wake up and they go, I'm missing something. And so he posts on YouTube, and he's usually very thought-provoking. So the other day he posted something that I thought I would never touch with a 10-foot pole. It is completely taboo. He started talking about psychedelic drugs. I thought, My first thought, drugs are bad. They are destructive, and not to mention, they are illegal. After he spoke for a while, I had two revelations. We see the world through our mortal eyes. When you look through the lens of God, God is the creator. You see our wisdom is and knowledge is finite. And second, you know God. You knowing God can come to a further conclusion than an unsaved person because God is your basis for everything and not man. It's because the man did come to a point in the video and I was like, you didn't even come close to the full answer. The video went on to say an extract from mushrooms, which are created by God, could reset a person with depression in one dose for 6 months to a year or maybe forever. Therefore, a person could take a cheap, effective, all-natural supplement maybe once, and instead of an expensive, addictive, man-made drug once or twice a month. I don't know where I stand on this, but it made me think. God is way smarter than I am. I don't always know what is good for me and what is bad, and that's why you must always go to God for the final wisdom. I know the devil wants to keep us in fear because that keeps us from doing anything. I don't know about you. When you're afraid, you can't think straight. You keep your mouth shut. You know, you just close yourself off. You just want to get away. So, but what better way to control a man than to tell him something that will help him is dangerous, taboo, make it illegal. It went on to say that alcohol is not illegal because it's a depressant, not a stimulant. So, again, it keeps us down. You know, it just drags us into. So, I am not promoting drugs. I'm not, just so you guys know. It just made me think. You know, what have we missed because we're not looking to God as the creator of everything for our source of all knowledge and wisdom? Instead, we trust the wisdom of mere men that came before us and are even our contemporaries. We can be deceived unless we go back to the source, to the beginning, to God. We need to take our thinking captive to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, for our weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful to God in order to pull down strongholds, pulling down imaginations and every high thing, lifting up itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it into captivity, every thought into the obedience of Christ. And we have to do that every day. If I don't do it every day, it's funny, because you can spend some time with God and you feel good for about a week and a half. And then after that week and a half, you're like, things just start getting unclear. So, I mean, why wouldn't you just spend time with God every day? And then you never get to that unclear point. You're always clear and laser focused, and you can hear God and know what to do. God spoke the world into existence. The devil, he fights for our soul with words. The world creates words to deny God.
We fight our battles with the Word of God. Are you guys seeing a pattern here? Words are so important. The devil can take a word and twist it and change the meaning, and you could miss God's entire blessing. So you have to know. The Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce all that. It just cuts it away. So when we fight the world, we need to fight on our turf with God's Word. We don't need to go to their turf because we'll lose every time, because they can change the rules every 2 minutes. Here's what it is. Oh, just kidding. Here's what it is. Here's what it is. No, just kidding. Here's what it is. And they're always changing the world. You can never win because they just invent new words that don't exist and don't mean anything. And they just create them up. You know, transgender, that word doesn't mean anything. They just made that up. You can't go from one thing to another. You can pretend, but you're still the thing that God made you. We will pull down strongholds. That's awesome. We will pull them down. You just have to be bold, because a stronghold is a bastion, a bulwark, a fortress that's fortified that the wicked feel safe. And we will pull those strongholds down with words given to us by God. Words are very important, and a correct vocabulary is paramount to using those words effectively. If you are not grounded in the Word, you can be deceived. And that is why we need to renew our minds daily so we don't lose our footing. Genesis 3:1 says, "The serpent asked the woman, 'Is it true that God said you can't eat of any tree in the garden?'" God never said any such thing. The devil wasted no time polluting God's created. A great way to win a battle is to sow doubt. He is planting a seed. And God is trying to keep you from this because he is selfish. He doesn't want you to be like him. The woman should have called his bluff. She wasn't called Eve yet. She was still just called the woman. Woman should have called his bluff. Actually, the man should have stepped in and been the man, but, you know, he was just being a man. Letting that woman fight her own battles. But when that seed is of doubt is planted, it is hard to pull it out. Doubt is quiet and persistent, but then it gets louder and more aggressive the more time you let it have. You have to crush that doubt with truth. God loves me. God wants the best for me. God would not have made a law to hurt me. God's laws are to protect me. If he doesn't do that, if he said, "Don't do this," then it is for my good, because he is a loving father and not an angry judge. The devil has one game plan, and that is to keep you from getting to know God and receiving his free gift. If that doesn't work, then he tries to keep you from growing up and leading others to Christ. So, side note, it was funny the other day. I was like, there is only one sin, and that is not trusting God. Not trusting God leads to every other sin. Every sin. I mean, every sin is because you said, "Oh, well, I don't trust you, God. I'm going to try this out." God gives you wisdom because he knows what's best, and he knows what's going to profit you and benefit you and bless you and bring you joy, and he knows what's going to hurt you and you know, cause depression and anger and hatred. And so he that's why he gave us this word. He goes, "Hey, do it this way. This is the manual." So I had a thought the other day. What would I say if someone I knew ended up in hell? I don't know why, it just popped into my head. I just said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was so worried about offending you, I just let you go to hell." Or, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was so worried about looking like a fool, I didn't tell you about Jesus, and now you're going to be in eternal torment. So, you know, the church is worried about offending the world so that we just let them continue in sin. Why? Why do we do this? The Word of God says, "Speak the truth in love." And the church has turned that into, "Speak love." I mean, that's like, no. No, they just say, "Love one another. Just love them and let them be." But that's not love. You don't love your children and then let them just go hurt themselves. That's not love. That's bad parenting. Why would God do that? You know, I mean, our children are going to hurt themselves. But, you know, the Bible says we bring them up in the Word and they'll stick with it forever, even though they mess up. But you know what messing up does? It just shows us how much more we need God and it lets us know how much more God loves us, because he loves us even when we mess up. We need to say the truth is this. I am spending eternity with the love of my life, and I think it would be awesome if you were there too. So, you know, the world looks at the church and they think, ah, you're judging me. And you're like, I'm not judging you. I sin just as much as you do. The only problem is, and the only difference is, I can go to God and he'll forgive me, and you have to live with it. You have to justify it. You have to come up with some excuse why you're doing it. I go, I sinned. Yeah, that was stupid. And thank you, God, that I'm covered in the blood. And so I don't have to bear the burden of my own sin. God took that burden. He got rid of it. It's covered in the blood. I mean, what an awesome thing. Why wouldn't the world want that? Why do you want to have to justify your own sins and have to try to make yourself feel better about being icky? So I don't know, that was a weird word to use. We often think about sparing the feelings or saving face, but it's about offering the greatest gift that a person can give. We have to change our mindset. We have to look at things with eternity in mind. The world is fleeting, and when forever is on the line, it's no time to get cold feet. The world needs to see the church that is on fire and radiating with joy, a church that speaks with authority and also compassion. They often see a watered-down church full of hypocrisy that's sins just as much as the world does. I'm not saying that we can't sin, because we do, and we will till the day we die. I'm saying we need to show the world the only difference between us and them is who we were, that is who we made Lord of our life. So that's the difference. They still want to be the Lord of their life. And I go, that's too hard. I don't want to be the Lord of my life anymore, because I mess it up all the time. And, you know, I don't want to carry that burden. I'll let Jesus carry that burden. I'll take his. He said his was easy. I like easy. So we sin, but we don't feel guilt. We repent. And we know the joy. With joy, God will cover and remove our sin. He will perfect us, and we will be justified, sanctified, and in the end, glorified. We think too simply for God. It's true. I was saying, you know, we're so focused on this little thing. We don't see everything God has planned. We don't expect God to do amazing things, and we should. Every day we should expect God to do amazing things, raise people from the dead, heal people, you know, with a word, change somebody's mind who is, this guy is, you know, totally believes in evolution and abortion and whatever, and you speak a word, and that word, two-edged sword, cuts right to the bone, severs that, and that person's mind and eyes are open, and wow, you know, they want God, they want joy, they want happiness, they want peace, they want all that angst and anger and sorrow and bitterness to go away. What do you have? Here's what I have. I'd love you to have it. It's amazing. It's better than any psychedelic drug. You wouldn't need that, by the way, if you just trust God. But anyway, he has a mighty plan for us, and we just need to be available, listening, and willing. That's just letting go. I mean, he does it all for us. It's a breeze. Just trust and let go of this world. He has it all under control. I mean, he created everything. It's like going to the inventor and you ask him, how do you do this? He goes, here it is. I invented this. I know what's going on. Focusing back on the world, I would like to paraphrase a popular rapper who said in a song, I have sinned so much, I would need a stack of crosses to cover all that I've done. I wrote that fellow. I said, no, you just need one. He didn't write me back, but I'm hoping he saw it and that it touched him. Because his consecutive songs after that, they seemed to kind of change a little bit. So I thought, maybe my, and the odd thing was I sent it through my wife's Facebook account. Oops. So he probably thought, this is a strange lady. The world has a bad understanding of who God is. You know what? We are to blame. We are to be the salt and the light. We have the truth, and we need to be bold as lions and proclaim it. We need to shout it from the rooftops. We have the best thing that ever was and ever will be. What is holding us back from sharing It's usually uncertainty. We are bombarded daily with doubt and fear. That is why we need to renew our minds daily. If we are firm and unwavering in our trust of God, we will not falter. Be bold, and as the fellow I listen to says, go to war. We are fighting for souls. The devil comes through the eyes and the ears. So we need to fill those sight lines and those audio waves with the gift of the Almighty God. The devil will have no choice but to flee. It's true, you know what? I mean, it's the devil came at Jesus three times, and three times Jesus rebuffed him with Scripture. And after that, the devil left him alone. He says, I can't win with this guy. This guy has the truth. And that's what you do. You put the truth in you. And when the devil comes at you, you just, here it is. Here's the truth, devil. Why are you trying to bring this lies at me? I already know the truth. So I want to share a little story about distraction. And this is how the devil works, and he can sideline us. It has nothing to do with the devil, but it's kind of like God. It's funny, God shows me stuff when I'm goofing off. So the other day I was enjoying my favorite video game, and I was doing quite well. I was owning, as the vernacular of today's youth says, and I was laser focused. And then someone on the other team called one of my teammates a smurf. If you don't know what a smurf is, that is another modern day term meaning someone who is quite proficient at whatever they are doing, and they create a second account so that they can dominate less adept players. So, the lesson is this. I got distracted and was trying to figure out if he was a smurf or if I was trying to figure out why the other fellow said it, and I started playing terrible. Immediately I realized I let this dominate my mind and I lost my focus. And that is what the devil does. He throws a squirrel out there to distract you. Squirrel. And you lose sight of what is important. This world does this to distract you from their real intentions. It is a great tactic. So, remember, just keep your eyes on Jesus, and the devil and the world cannot distract you from the truth. They throw little words or terms or phrases out there, and then you go, well, I got to figure out how to combat that. Here's how you combat it right here. You just go all the way back to the beginning, to the truth. It can't be, you can't fight this. This is the ultimate authority. Oddly enough, I hate liars, but I actually am a great liar. So, I thank you, Jesus, that I don't really do it much anymore. That is a sin God showed me, and he took care of it. Well, God didn't have to show me. I knew I was a great liar. So, he showed me he was going to reveal the truth to me, and that the sin would lose hold on me. I still slip up every now and again, but that's because I forget the truth. I'm quickly reminded of how much happier and carefree life is without that sin. God finally breaks through, and you see that there is more pain in doing the sin instead of accepting the consequences of your actions, and then the sin dies. When you die quickly, I always think it's funny that people will just hold on and hold on and hold on. I'm going to hold on to that sin. It's like, dude, just die. Do you know how much happier it is if you just die? Let God take it all. Why are you trying to keep this garbage? You know, I want this garbage. It makes me happy, and it doesn't. It makes you miserable. And then when finally one day when God says, see, it makes you miserable, you go, yeah, it really makes me miserable. You can have that sin, God. I don't want it anymore. And it's gone. It's gone from your mind. You don't think about it anymore. It doesn't have any hold on you. God gave me a tremendous revelation years ago, and I know I've shared it before, but I'm going to share it again. Fighting against my parents would be hard, and it would not give me joy. Obeying my parents and receiving their wisdom and knowledge would make life easier, more fruitful, and a whole lot more enjoyable. This is Paul speaking. I heard a voice speaking to me saying in a Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? I just think that was God being funny. He's like, why are you doing that? Why are you making life so hard on yourself? So, don't kick against the goads. Give in. You know, let God take all your burden. We are most free when we give our lives completely to God. We are carefree. His word says, if I clothe the lilies of the field and feed the birds of the air, will I not feed and clothe you? Years ago, God said, I'm going to provide for all your needs. And I just believed him because he said it. And it's been true. And I haven't had to, you know, every once in a while the devil will go, hey, you need to work. You may not have work and you won't be able to feed your family. And I go, ah, shut up, devil. That's a lie. Because God told me, he gave me a word. He said, I will always provide all your needs. And I know that I can, that's a worry that I don't have to worry about. I already gave it to God. And he's going to provide for all my needs. Even when I screw it up and I don't call customers back or whatever, and I do wrong. And I go, man, that was stupid. But that's okay. God still provides for all my needs. I think it was great that I have a wife and a child, because I'm like, God, you really have to come through now, because now it's not just me. But that's not what he said. He didn't say, well, now that you got an extra burden, I'll come through. He said, I will always provide for all your needs. We need to share this word with the world. We are hiding it under a bushel. I will speak this over you. I'm going to speak this over you. You are a city on a hill. You are salt and light. There is great comfort in seeing that city after a great journey. I said great twice. Salt makes life savory, and light chases away darkness. That is what people are going to see in you. They will see it in you. It's already in you. So when they see you, that's what they're going to see. I want to talk about the state of the world. We live in it. We live in it, but we are not of it. The devil is trying to convince us otherwise. He throws up distractions and accusations to keep us from our mission. You know, that's one of my favorite things is that then he'll talk you into a sin, and then after you do it, he'll accuse you of it. You're like, wait a minute, you just talked me into that. So the devil talks you into bondage, and he talks you into fear, doubt, hate, greed, and so on. One of the things that seems most prevalent now in our current time is division. The world is always trying to divide us because it is pushed by the media, by politicians, by Hollywood, and it is so rampant on social media. I find it funny that I go around my city and everyone I meet is my friend, and yet there's division. I don't see that. So, is it real? It doesn't matter who they are or what they believe or how they act. They are my friend. I have an anecdote. I'm a conservative, and if I see a car driving by that has liberal stickers on it, I want to pull up beside them and glare at them and judge them. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. Well, if God can love liberals, I can love them too. We are both people, and the way we believe does not change the value that God puts on our lives. These ideas are they're bad and I'm good is a lie from the pit of hell. The word says we're all bad. So that puts an end to that. That being said, it is here and division creates a false problem. It is a tool to keep us from seeing each other as God created us. Before we get mad at the world for dividing us, we have to remember God loves everyone and wants everyone to come to him. We are all created by him. We should be an example to them, drawing them to Christ. Treat them as Jesus treated the woman at the well. She was an outsider. She was, as she put it, a dog, but Jesus saw her as one of his beloved children. A fellow I listen to calls us image bearers of Christ. This is a fantastic picture. Whether we're saved or not saved, we're all image bearers of Christ. No matter how evil a person is or how destructive they are, God loves them. The world is just blind to his love and his truth, but they are still made in his image. Genesis says, "Let us make man in our image." Remember, we are supposed to love and pray for our enemies. It was funny. It was interesting. How many things God told us to love? First of all, we're supposed to love God. Second of all, we're supposed to love ourselves. Third of all, we're supposed to love our neighbors. Fourth of all, we're supposed to love our enemies. So pretty much God should have just said, just love everybody. Because, you know, I mean, that doesn't leave anybody out. I mean, who could we not? We can't. We don't have to love the devil. So we don't have to love the devil. I wouldn't recommend it. He's not a nice guy. Remember, we are supposed to love and pray for our enemies. Because they're not really our enemies. They are our mission field. That being said, there's a fine line between loving and being pushed around. We are at war with the devil, not with the world. He is crafty and vicious, and they are just blind to the truth. You have to know when to fight and when to turn the other cheek. Remember, we are fighting for souls, not religious freedom. And that rankles to say that because I want to remove anyone who's trying to impede my ability to worship God, but it is God who fights for our freedom to worship Him. It is wonderful to have freedom to worship Him without fear of punishment, but we can worship Him in freedom or in bondage. Ours is to seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be added. I've actually wrestled with that verse for years. It seems obvious, but there is actually a much deeper meaning that was always eluding me. The other day, God revealed that meaning to me, and He said, "You are always seeking me for this world instead of seeking a relationship with eternity in mind. So seek first the kingdom, and I'll take care of the rest." So it is. We're always focused on this world, our food, our clothing, you know, whatever. It's just, that's not important. God said, "Seek me and I'll take care of all that. I'll just give it to you. It's just a free gift. But you just have to seek me and that's it." So, we are at war and the devil uses words. He whispers brilliant lies to those who don't have the truth and who hate God and want power. Many have a great impact on the world at large. Marx, Darwin, Hitler, Constantine, Sanger, Machiavelli, and so on. I'm going to move on to some of these words. Actually, I had a whole list, and I'm not going to go through most of them, because I started reading, and I thought, this is probably me and not God, so I'm just going to leave that out. I didn't even print it off. I left it at home. But I'm going to go through a few. I'm going to go on to these words, to deny God's existence, to confuse the church, to justify sins against God and enslave their fellow man. Racism is a big word right now. The devil uses this word to cause division, distraction, hate, guilt, burden. The world uses it to shut up the truth. I'm going to make a bold statement. Racism does not exist. There is hate, but there's no racism. Because why? We are all one race. God didn't create different races. He created one race. So you either hate everybody or you hate nobody. You can't be racist. The idea of race was popularized by none other than Charles Darwin. Mr. Darwin hated God, and he hated people with a lot of melanin in their skin. If you don't know what melanin is, it's what people darker skin. He created the idea of evolution so he could science away God's existence and so he could classify darker-skinned people as less human than lighter-skinned people. Man was evil. You know, he was selfish. He wanted to be God. Racism does not exist because we are all one race. We are brothers and sisters, descendants of Adam and Eve. We are descendants of Noah and his three sons. We are all family. We came from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So we're all family. I won't deny that hate exists. It stems from fear and ignorance. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows every hair on our head. We are his image bearers. Sticking with Darwin, we will talk about evolution. Evolution gives rise to all manner of corruption. I find it funny that they tout evolution and say babies are not humans until they're born. But if you follow that line of thinking, it would be true that we're all just accidents and they're just as unimportant as that baby and be gone away with just as cavalierly. So they only use this because it's expedient to the end they desire. It makes no logical sense. But wanting to be God is not logical. You can't argue with a person whose basis is not set on God. Their framework is focused solely on themselves. We as believers rest solely on the Word of God. The world loves evolution because it removes responsibility. It removes the biblical marriage. So divorce is okay. Fornication is okay. Incest is taboo, but whatever, just don't get caught. It removes the importance of life, the precious gift that was created by God. He knew us but from the beginning of time. He formed us in the womb. It removes lawful boundaries set by God. If there is no God, then everything is permissible as long as society is okay with it. Evolution does away with God so man can sin and not feel guilty. It is sad because we are designed to need God. God makes us whole. The devil continues to whisper the lie that God is a tyrant. He is a greedy creator. He causes pain and suffering. He's not real. When we look around us, can seem to be true. The world is cruel and violent and sad and miserable. but it is also amazing and wondrous and beautiful and joyous and breathtaking. We need to ever have God's word in our mouth. The word says, in this world you will have trouble, but count it all joy, for I have overcome the world. It says, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations, because it's perfecting you. I can't wait to be perfect one day. It's going to be awesome. I'm not there yet, just so you guys know. Since the garden, we have been trying to find our own way, and God, the Creator, is right there saying, hey, I built this deal. I have all the cheat codes. But we in our pride say, nah, I can figure it out on my own. We only have to give in and give up and say, God, your way is the best. It is like a burden falling off a pilgrim. You guys know Pilgrim's Progress. That's probably my favorite part of the book, is when he drops that burden from his back. And I know that when there's something weighing on you and you finally give it to God and you let it go, it's like you're 3 inches taller, and it's like everything is perfect. The daisies are blooming and the sun is out. It's like wow. Why did I have those clouds over me for so long? That was so stupid. You know, the sun was always out. I just couldn't see it. Why carry something you were never meant to carry? As the saying goes, take a load off. Whoa, there's another page somewhere here. Here we go. I want to leave you with this. That the word says there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Words matter. What words you let enter your eyes and your ears matter. Ground everything in the Word of God. If it does not agree with the Word of God, it is not God, and it does not need to be part of your everyday vernacular. You can be deceived if you don't take every thought captive. The devil is a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. We are the children of God, image bearers of Christ, soldiers on the front line for the souls of the lost. Now go to war. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace, your joy. Thank you for your gift of a carefree spirit where we can just relax and be in you and just seek you and have a relationship with you, because relationship is really all that you want, just to spend time with us. Like in the garden where you just spent time with Adam and Eve. They got to hang out and eat and play with animals, and you'd come and visit with them. You just want relationship. Thank you that was your design, and then one day that will be what your design is again. So you're just saying, hey, let's hang out, and I'll provide for all your needs. Thank you, Father, for these people that are here and these people that are online watching. Bless them. Let them receive this word from you, Father. Let them have a wonderful week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Wahoo!